Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Ninth State Sports Show Lacrosse Edition. My name is Joe Marcellina, and joining me once again, Derryfield AD and boys lacrosse coach Chris Hettler. Chris, how you doing today?
Joe, I'm good. I got spoiled yesterday. We had a great day in the great day to open our season in the sun and beautiful weather, and then we're back to winter.
It's not that cold yet.
It was nice.
It was nice today. I don't know. Well, I guess depend on where in the state you were. I was in the south, more as far south as you can go. In Nashua, and it was pretty nice for most of the
day. And I feel like it was a little apropos. It's getting me ready for Friday. Pat Snow said he's dialed up some nice seacoast weather for us on Friday. So it's just a little taste of what might be coming on Friday. So it was grit day. We were prepared.
There you go. That's good. Yeah. You know what? Compared to what we were getting a week ago at this time, I was trying to scramble out of here before the snow hit. I'm okay with 50s and raining at the moment.
We'll see. We'll be complaining. You're right. We'll be complaining about the heat and everything else in the next couple of weeks.
I mean, so. I figure it can't be like last year where we kept going through what it felt like was just the roller coaster of. I mean, do you remember the first couple of days last year were like hot?
They were.
Then all of a sudden we dropped like 40 degrees. So if we can just stay in that like 50 to 70 range, for maybe 2 weeks, that's.
Give me 75. 75 wins out of the north. I did text you that picture though from 2019. Yesterday
the
was
snow,
the anniversary of the
snow
bowl, the Goffstown Derryfield Snow Bowl game from 2019.
I tried not to remember that. Well, as always, you can share feedback and thoughts on the show by sending an email to nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com or by connecting with us on social media. You can follow the site on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at @NHHSports. New shows are posted every Thursday morning on the site, or you can listen to them by going to nh-highschoolsports.com or by searching the Ninth State Sports Show on Spotify or Odyssey. And if you missed it last week, of course, we have an update on where we're going to be outside of where you can listen to us on your radio. We are now also going to be replayed on the Manchester Public Television station, WMNH 95.3. We're going to get a couple different times on there, Fridays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 8 a.m., and Sundays at noon. So if you are close to your radio,
you're going to have brunch on Sunday. What better way to do it than listening to Joe and Chris? I mean, who wouldn't want to have breakfast and listen to that? I mean,
just have us right there with you. You can go back and see if we were right on the things that we said we were,
How do you take your coffee, Joe?
I take my coffee black. A little bit of sweetener in there.
We'll have that ready for you.
Oh, good, good. All right. Before we get started, let's tell you about our sponsor. The Ninth State Sports Show is proudly sponsored by Prolax Custom. Since 2018, Prolax Custom Lacrosse of Bedford has been the region's go-to source for boys' stick stringing and custom lacrosse head dies. Don't settle for a hand-me-down stick or a mass-produced factory pocket when you can get a stick dialed in for your position and playing style from Prolax Customs. Whether it's a brand new stick, a restring of your existing stick, or a full custom die job to stand out from the crowd, every customer they work with gets one-on-one service and a satisfaction guarantee. With access to every major brand, Prolax Customs is your hometown source for your next stick. Visit them on Instagram or at prolaxcustoms.com.
He's paying us a visit right now.
Is he really?
He's right outside the door right now. He's dropping off a shipment of sticks right now. He's pulling some late hours right now.
Incredible.
He never stops.
Look at that service too. You're just stopping on by, dropping off sticks. That's fantastic. All right.
But speaking of fantastics, I mean, what a day to start off. I mean, most teams, like, there were some teams that played on Monday. They had a good day to play too.
Monday was even better than yesterday.
A little hot for you yesterday? A little too hot?
No. Oh, no. I'm the opposite. I thought Monday was a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
Monday was a perfect spring day to start the season. And then on, the eclipse on top of that, just a nice, fun little thing to throw in there.
I had my glasses on. We got to look at it. I'll be honest before we get into lacrosse here. I don't want to say I was let down. I'm a science teacher. It was really cool. I enjoyed it, but like the way it got hyped up, I'm like, it's not getting dark. Like, wait a minute. Like,
yeah, I think that
I got sold. I know, I understand we weren't in the complete totality path, but like I got sold that it was going to get really dark, and I'm like, it's 6 o'clock out.
The knowers and the explainers didn't do a good job of explaining that 95%
it's
coverage
still
is still.
Out.
I mean, but when, and you would think about it. I mean, the sun is bright.
It's pretty bright.
So even just 5% of it, you know, it's still pretty bright. Where I was over at Bedford, actually, a little teaser here for an upcoming episode of the season with the Bedford boys team.
They all have their goggles
they
on.
Were out. They started practice at 3:20
okay.
on Monday. And so I was over there getting some stuff of them, you know, getting ready, warming up with the
I saw some
eclipse,
pictures online.
And,
cool.
Yeah. It was almost like smog, you know, like that's what it kind of looked like as it started to get closer to
full
coverage.
Oh, see, I was like the golden hour. I was ready to get some pictures. I thought, but yours doesn't sound as nice as mine. Like,
well, but
it was
like
it was
good,
a
it was like
it
a good
hazy,
smog.
A
yeah, it was
hazy.
Yeah, it was hazy. You know, they had some extra glasses. I was able to try to use it to get some shots.
Did you notice any weird wildlife going on? We had crows were acting a little weird where we were.
There were some, not crickets, but like what are the frogs that like start to make noise? I'm sure
peepers,
you've heard them over.
The peepers?
Yeah, over at Bedford in the swamp on the one side there. 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. All of a sudden, they all start
Yeah.
So it was pretty. I tried to get a little closer.
So we did the same thing. We went over. We had our turf was being used. We had to go over to the bubble, and I had the kids. We left at 3:00, and we got over there, and from basically 3:10 to the totality to about 3:29, we watched and before our practice too, and it was cool to kind of see it. But yeah, so
you gonna try to get into the path of totality in 2044 or 45 whenever it's supposed to?
God willing, if I'm still kicking.
I've seen a lot of people posting about how the path is supposed to go over Orlando.
Ooh. All right.
When in it's August, I think of that whatever year that is.
I tell you what, if I'm still coaching lacrosse, Orlando is where I might want to be.
Well, I'm hoping Florida's still here. You know that it hasn't sunk into the ocean by 2044.
All right. No more doom and gloom.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start actually talking about lacrosse for one thing, and let's start with I think maybe what a lot of people were waiting for. You know, as we were getting closer to the season, that's the preseason coaches poll. Came out on Monday afternoon, right before everybody started playing. You know, and I think if you were to guess out there what the coaches and those of us in the media that vote in the poll were thinking of, you might have come pretty close, I think, picking what we had there in the top 10. A lot of teams from last year. Not quite the same order, but pretty close. And, of course, number one, you know, once again, Bishop Girton, unanimous choice. I think what I have here that this was the 28th week in a row that they have been number one in the poll. And you think about that, there's only 9 polls a year. So, you know, that's the better part of the last 3-plus years. And fourth year in a row that they have been a unanimous number one choice.
I mean, until someone proves it differently, they've more than earned that spot atop the poll there. And you know, I think with the out of state schedule they're playing, and even in state, they're going to have plenty of opportunity to back that up. You know, and they've every time they've been voted, they've backed it up. So, like we said, until otherwise, I don't see that until someone proves differently. I don't see that changing a whole lot there, but. I feel like from then on, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was some, there were a lot of different voting early on here. I think coaches are interested to see some early season scores.
2 through 4 could not be any tighter in terms of point totals for the voting. Your guys, Derryfield, number 2, spot that you had at the end of last year as well, so you held on to that spot. 121 points in the voting for that, followed by Exeter at 3. With 119, and then Bedford at 4 with 118.
That's
so,
about as tight as it
like,
gets.
Yeah, the only thing that could have been, I mean, 2 points between you and Exeter, 1 point between Exeter and Bedford. And the good news for Bedford, after spending, I think, all of last year at number 6, start to finish, they're 4th to start this year. So no worries about getting out of that out of the 6 hole this year.
And then going forward from there,
you get Pinkerton rounding out the top five, still pretty close, 102. So just a little bit further back from those three, and then Portsmouth at six at 97. So still, even those two teams only separated by five and not too far back from, you know, those, the two through four. And those were clearly everybody's top six teams. I don't think anyone else, you know, outside of those six got a top six vote. So everybody was pretty much consensus on who the top six are.
Just a matter of shaking out where.
That second after the top spot, who the next five are.
Yep.
And then Timberlane took seven. Londonderry at eight. Very close there, too. Timberlane at 43, Londonderry 40. St. Thomas ninth, and then Wyndham 10th. And then also getting votes, you had Merrimack, Hopkinton, Dover, Hollis Brookline, Laconia, Winneconnet, and Sauhegan.
All right.
So a pretty well-rounded top 10. Nice mix of teams, I think, also getting votes as well. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out every year, if there's or every week. I don't know how much. I mean, we didn't have a ton of movement last year, except within maybe those, you know, two through five. And then the bottom four, I think, rotated a little bit as well. So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
It did stay fairly consistent within the top 10. But I think, I don't know, judging from early scores that have come in, I think there has the possibility for some movement this year.
Well, and some of these teams haven't even played. I mean, BG doesn't play till Friday.
Right.
You know, Londonderry doesn't play until Thursday. And then there's Timberlane's played twice. You know, I think the only team that's played, or one of the few teams that's played twice so far. So, yeah, still a lot of up and down to or and results to be determined there. And you know, anything, I mean, any of that really surprise you at all? Or is there anybody that you thought would be in the voting that isn't in there?
I think it's a good top 10. As you said, I think there's an argument can be made for, you know, you had talked about Hopkinton has more than proved themselves the last couple of years. We can get into that in a little bit. They had a great game with Bo yesterday, a double overtime win, to start the season there. So, I mean, again, you know, you could argue that, you know, maybe a couple other D3 teams, Bo, Campbell, Laconia, you know, can all be in that mix for those final spots there in the top 10 too. Maybe some of those teams break in as the season goes along there. Hollis Brookline with a big win yesterday too, you know, another team to keep an eye on there too. But I think for an early season preseason poll, based off of results from last year, what people have coming back, I don't think anybody would be super surprised with the teams that are in the initial top 10 poll there. And I think it makes for some good conversation about where people there and who got gypped a spot here and there, up and down. So yeah.
All right. Well, I think probably the first place that we want to start this week. You know, I feel like there were a lot of games yet on Tuesday, but still a lot of teams that were not really starting their schedules just because things had gotten pushed back because of, you know, the weather we got the end of last week. But the game, I think, that probably caught both of our eyes, late Tuesday night, result coming in. Still haven't had a chance to go and watch it myself, but you had Exeter opening the year. We said with Lincoln Sudbury was going to be a really good test for them right out of the gate. And I don't think
and they couldn't have passed it with any better.
You get a goal from Owen Williams with 5 seconds left. They beat Lincoln Sudbury 8-7. You know, kind of a bit of an eye-opener there. And the kind of game, like, you know, we sit there and we thought, you know, we knew Exeter is going to be good. Are they going to be maybe a little bit better than we initially thought?
I think they'd like that maybe early in the season here, some teams, you know, and again, disrespect. I mean, they didn't get really disrespected. They're still in everybody's top four. But I think they're hearing the talk that, you know, maybe there's some teams that are being voted ahead of them that they have an issue with. And I think they're wearing that as sort of a chip on their shoulder early in here to kind of go out and prove some people wrong. And, you know, that's a great statement win, to take into the season there and roll with. You know, I heard, you know, I didn't get to watch the game, but I heard Ethan Burnich played, stood on his head at times in that game. You know, the defense to hold a Lincoln Sudbury team to six goals,
seven goals.
You know, incredible effort by those guys. And just, you know, a really nice win to build off of for Coach Brewster and his guys.
You know, the kind of win too, that if they were hoping to fly under the radar a little bit.
Definitely is not going to
happen now. Yeah. You know what? You say that about maybe using some of the poll or preseason predictions as motivation. I did get an email from someone, after I put some of the previews out there. It was not you. I will tell people out there, it was not you that said they might use what I wrote as some bulletin board material. And I said, that is one of the free services I provide here is fresh bulletin board material. You just have to be willing to accept it when you are on the other side of it as well. But no, seriously, a really outstanding win, again, not just for Exeter. I mean, it definitely for Exeter, huge confidence builder, but for New Hampshire too. I mean,
some of the coaches chats I was in, one of the bigger wins for New Hampshire, obviously over the years, BG Pinkerton have had some great out of state wins for them. But in recent memory, this is one of the bigger wins for the state, by name and other things. Again, we'll have to see how Lincoln Sudbury's season turns out. And, but at the same time, I mean, that's a historic program, won several state titles. My brother was associated with the program. He was an offensive coordinator with them when they won a couple titles. Very storied program and a huge, huge win for the state.
Just looking around, not a ton of games played yet in D1. I mean, Pinkerton's got a couple wins there over Manchester and Salem, back-to-back days. Bedford had a big win over Concord.
Dover picked up a win.
Yeah, picked up a win over Salem. We'll say that in that game, that Bedford-Concord game, early on, it looked like, Bedford was certainly controlling play, controlling possession, and but early on, there the Concord goalie. I'm trying to find the roster I had here, and so I can share with you the young man's name because he did play very well.
You would watch them early in the season.
Yeah, I saw them
a couple scrimmages
at the
Oyster River
Jamboree,
I think,
and he
stood out
good.
To you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fellow by the name of Logan Schimmer. Really good, big guy, not huge guy, but bigger guy, lefty, was getting in front of their shots, making some saves, kept it close. I think it was 4-0 game at the end of one quarter, and considering how much Bedford had the ball, felt like a bit of a win, but then they just started clicking. 11-0 game at halftime. Big games on offense from Bennett Matthews and Derek Kaliza. I think Matthews had 6 goals, 7 goals.
Yeah,
Kaliza had 4, 5 or 6 somewhere in there.
They're a physically dominant team, and Coach Smith has made no bones about it. His team's young this year. I know they're a little beat up right now. They're missing some guys, but he's high on the future of that team. But like when you play a team with exceptional athletes like Bedford has, you're going to get worn down eventually. It's hard to hold up over that time period, but impressive showing from Concord or from Bedford out of the gate there, sort of sent a statement to the rest of the league there. I can't wait until some of these matchups, Bedford and BG, Bedford and Exeter, Bedford Pinkerton.
Well, you don't have to wait long. Next Monday, Bedford or Pinkerton at Bedford.
That's gonna be an awesome
5:30 start.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. Another game that I think may fly under the radar a little bit, but could end up being, big for Merrimack down the road, is they opened up Tuesday with an 8-3 win over Nashua South. Another team that, Concord said this, the only times they'd been on a full field this year was that Oyster River Jamboree and yesterday, Tuesday, at Bedford. Merrimack, I know, was in a very similar boat.
Parking lot a lot.
Not even the parking lot. They have like a dirt space kind of in between the parking lot and the field that they're able to kind of like play on. I think Coach Miller called it something kind of like sixes. So to get out there, on Tuesday, get an 8-3 win over South doesn't really sound like much, but it's something to build on. 3 goals from Henry Tobin in that one. 2 more goals from Sean Anderson, and I think for them it's kind of the kind of thing where they need to just kind of build. We talked about them losing quite a bit from last year in terms of just senior leadership, and that the guys that were coming back were pretty young. I think they have one senior, maybe one senior that is a starter, two others that kind of are in the mix there. A favorable start for them, too. You know, they've got Londonderry coming up, and then two games with Concord and then Dover to start the year. So, good way to get the ball rolling.
Good win for them, for a team that's fighting for one of those top eight spots for the playoffs. I thought Dover's win over Salem was huge early season here. Dom Shell over 15 saves in the game. Joe, how many saves do you think he has in his career?
You know what? I should actually probably hold the mic up to my face, huh? I did see this, and now I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's what, 30 something away from?
He's 38 saves away from 700. 700 saves in your career. I mean, even over 4 years, that is ridiculously impressive.
You know, having watched him play, I believe it.
I believe it too.
I mean, he gets to everything.
Yeah.
You know, and no surprise there that where they held Salem to what, 3 goals.
Yep.
Not that surprised. So I want to go back though for a second. That Merrimack South game took me a second to pull this up here because I wanted to talk about South too. You know, you could look at that and say, you know, 3 goals, tough way to start the year. Wednesday they also played back to back, took on Alvern, dropped that one 7-6 Wednesday as well. You know, but I look back to last year, they opened the season the same way: Merrimack, Alvern, back to back. They lost to Merrimack 10-1, Alvern 11-4. So, and just watching them a little bit on Wednesday, they looked better to me than a year ago. So that was kind of encouraging to me to see from South.
Very encouraging. Yep.
Anybody else in D1 that we don't have a lot to go off of at this point because, like I said, there's still a lot to come this week.
Not in D1. You know, we'll see what happens. I don't know how many games are going to get played tomorrow. Tomorrow's not looking great.
Friday.
I think most of the games will get played. Thursday's games, it's going to be, if you don't have turf, it's going to be tough to get those games in. So we'll have to, we'll have to see there. What did you take away? I mean, the only other team, I mean, Pinkerton opened, they had a game against Manchester. 20 goals. I mean, we were questioning, you know, where the scoring's going to come from Pinkerton this year. Did you take away from that game?
You know, just seeing, just getting familiar with some of those guys that are scoring the goals. I mean, there were a few guys that we knew going into the year that had contributed last year. Obviously, Matt Morrison's been a starter for them for a couple of years. Ben Quintiliani, another guy that's played quite a bit. Adam Scala, I feel like got some time last year. He ended up with 4 goals in this game against Manchester. Cole Summers, a name that I wasn't too familiar with, you know, before this season, 3 goals and 4 assists for them. So just to see, you know, some of the other guys that were out there and who is going to maybe take on those, take on that scoring role for them.
And you had mentioned, you know, earlier, I think in some of the pocket, maybe when we were doing the D1 preview that, you know, that everybody coming into the season might have thought faceoffs were going to be an issue for them, but you actually, they've got, you know, they don't have one guy, but they got 3 guys.
Yeah.
18 for 19 facing off yesterday.
Again,
so
against Manchester.
Looks like maybe a stable of guys in the face-off circle there for them.
Yeah, so it's we thought that might be the case and you know, so far that's kind of held up. Well, I mean, we'll find out. I was going to say when they play Bedford on Monday, I'm not sure. Bedford kind of, you know, they rotated a couple guys in against Concord. Had some struggles with a lot of, there were a lot of procedures.
Do you remember who they had facing off for them?
Off the top of my head, I'm not too sure.
I know, I'm wondering if Riccio is taking over as full-time facing off. Was he not facing off for them?
See, you asked me that. I knew I shouldn't have put away that roster. Brian was not.
Okay.
Dylan was, though.
Dylan was. Yes. Okay. That's what I would have thought, too.
His younger brother is a freshman. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So that makes sense. So that'll be an interesting matchup to watch there in the face-off circle because, again, you know, coming into that was a question mark for Bedford coming into this season there. We knew that, you know, defense and offense was going to be good. Can they get the ball? But seems like for them, I think was Ethan Kahn in goal for them the other night?
Yes, he was. Yep. So again, he started.
Super solid. Seemed like he had a good game. So, yeah, looking forward to that matchup.
All right, well, let's move over to D2 and take a look at what we got going on here. You know, I mentioned that South game against Alvern on Wednesday. Alvern 2-0 again, like they were a year ago with wins over Goffstown and the Panthers. You've also got Timberlane now 2-0.
Picking up where they left off last year too. Yeah. Remember after their first three games, leading the state in goal
and
scoring again this year,
averaging
17 goals a game. Impressive start for the Owls.
Not going to get that third game at least right off the bat. I'm already looking and seeing that their game that was supposed to be Friday with Hillsborough Deering John Stark has been postponed, so they're off now for a week, and return with back to back games against Portsmouth and then at Hollis Brookline. A week now for the Owls to prepare for the Clippers. I'm sure Portsmouth is.
I'm sure they're happy
with that.
Haven't
seen a result from their game yet though, but they opened Wednesday against Newburyport.
They got a win. They were up big going in the fourth quarter. They ended up winning 19-13. I believe at one point they were up 18-6.
Wow.
And I think rotated in some guys there, and good season opening. A little bit of a shootout there.
Yeah.
In Newburyport.
That's kind of a rivalry turned into a bit of a rivalry game
the
for
Clipper
them too.
Cup.
They played. Quite a few times recently. Yeah.
Yep. A little bit of a one-sided rivalry. But
has it been?
Yeah. But still, good, again, out-of-state game and opportunity to see somebody different. And, speaking of which, Winnicunnett had a little bit of that, right? Played Marshwood on Tuesday. There, 9-4 win.
9-4 final. Looking at the standings here, too, online, it looks like they – I don't know how big – My familiarity with Maine classifications is not great, so I'm guessing at Marshwood
is an extra win for
they got an extra point for that win. I didn't realize Marshwood was a D1 sized school in New Hampshire, so that's a good thing to know there. But yeah, they 9 goals, Beckett Rath with 3 of them for Winnicunnett, and Alec Mitchell with 2 more. Nice way to start the season and. Probably build some momentum going into who do they got coming up this week?
I believe they got a team from the central location in the States,
okay. From Manchester.
Manchester area, welcome them out to the seacoast there.
Fun stretch for them too, with that game against Derryfield and then at St. Thomas following that up, and then Dover, which is a little bit of a rivalry game too.
Absolutely, they're going to test themselves early in the season.
Speaking of St. Thomas. That was probably one of the early scores from Tuesday that, raised a few eyebrows. They host Merrimack Valley on Tuesday to open the year. Get a win, but it's a 7-5 win, for a team that, we knew last year, can put up a ton of goals. So I'm assuming you know a little bit more about this game, I think, than I do, but Merrimack Valley played some pretty solid defense
there
against the Saints.
Very solid defense. I think threw some things at St. Thomas that maybe they hadn't seen. Or, it's early in the season. You're not going to have your offense prepared for everything. And I think I think Merrimack Valley was able to do some things defensively that maybe threw them for a loop a little bit. And, I don't think it's any big secret. One of the better players, Jackson Estes, was out for that game and did not play in that game. So, again, really, really good player, Division I commit to Bryant, can make a huge difference in a game. So missing him, I have no doubt their offense is going to click into gear and they're going to be a really good team this year. But I think just like super encouraging for Merrimack Valley and all the work. We had talked earlier in the season about the work that they were putting in and, in the weight room and in the off season and playing and things like that. So, I mean, so St. Thomas is missing one of their better players, but still, like, you walk away from that game, you got to feel pretty good about your defensive effort and your ability to, play with just about anybody in the league this year.
Interesting, you know, upcoming schedule for St. Thomas too. I believe that they're scheduled to go to Conval on Friday, but I think that game's already been postponed.
I think I saw that too. I thought I saw it was postponed on there. Yeah, maybe field conditions, like just looking
off the rest of the week. Return to action on Monday against Winneconnet, and then they're off till Friday playing Derry Field, and then they follow that up at Concord, and then against Alvern, and then at Portsmouth, and then Timberlane for their next, what is that, five games. A interesting kind of stretch of games there for St. Thomas.
Yeah, well, time to prepare. One, it gives you time to prepare, get guys back, and then also, you know, make adjustments between games too. So it can be a good thing too. You know, because like it has been a weird spring, and you know, maybe you haven't been able to get outside as much as you want. You know, even a lot of schools that do have turf, you know, just with the type of snow and stuff we've gotten, it's been difficult, even if you have the ability to plow to get it off there. So. I know we were talking when Oyster River came to play us yesterday. I was talking to Coach Haley, and they couldn't, even though they've had turf, they haven't been out on it a lot.
Sticky snow.
Sticky snow.
Yeah, it's a new thing.
It's a new spring snow.
What's this? Yeah, spring. Yeah, there you go. You know, another game. I think we were both kind of intrigued by going into the week. Wyndham at Sauhegan to start on Tuesday. And Wyndham gets a pretty impressive 15-6 win over the Sabres. You know, a great game from a couple different guys. You know, able to score multiple goals for them. Josh Trudell, 3 goals and 2 assists. Nate Crowley, 2 goals and 3 assists. And Sam Kramer, 2-2. You know, for the Jaguars. So
yeah,
really,
younger players too, getting it done for them. Coach talked about, you know, his depth. It's probably he felt it was his deepest team that they've had in a long time, and he was expecting that younger kids were going to step up for them. And so far, they're proving it right.
I don't remember if they played each other to start last year or not. And of course, I didn't look that one up. But it feels like, you know, I don't remember them playing that game early in the game. So really, a really good way for Wyndham, you know, to start off the year. A team that, if they didn't play last year, then I don't know if they've ever played before. So, you know, that's always kind of, I think, a scary prospect. Oh, I take that back. They did play. Forget everything I just said then. They did play last year to start the season. You know, but still... you know, a Sauhegan team that we kind of thought was going to be in the mix to maybe steal one of those top 8 seeds. So a nice win.
And they still could be. Mm-hmm. And they still could be. It's early in the season.
All right. Well, we haven't talked about how your guys opened the season on Tuesday against Oyster River. You know, a 17-1 win for the Cougars. In you know, one that I hope the Oyster River guys are able to kind of just, I don't want to say forget, but move on from, because I feel like you said, they weren't able to get on their field for a couple of days. They're coming out here, as many guys as they have returning, they're still a really young team.
They're a very young team right now.
Against, you know, your guys who are older and are maybe a little bit more seasoned, you know, so a tough start, obviously.
Tough start,
but one I think they should be able to bounce back.
There's a lot of talent there on that team. You know, we talked about their attack being very skilled, very talented. Midfield's going to develop as it goes along. I was super impressed with Cole Norris in the goal. Made some really, really good saves, point blank on us early in the game. You know, stood tall for, continued to stand tall throughout the game there. Impressed with their face off work as well. Made their player made a big jump from last year, and made life difficult for, you know, in the end of the day, the box score, I think Logan won 18 or 19 of 20, but it wasn't he made him work for it.
They weren't
all clean, and you know, really made him work for it, and it was a good day for him. You know, on my side of things, I was super happy with our distribution of goal scoring and assists. I think we had 10 or 11 different guys hit the box score. We had some of our young freshmen able to get in there and contribute. You know, it was a really good day. It was a good start. We have some new faces on defense this year. Parker Leibitz did a great job in net for us, and we were pretty clean in the clearing and riding game. So, you know, all in all, I was very happy with the start we had. again, we got to turn the page quickly and going out to the Seacoast to play Winnicunnet in an always good matchup. But I think for Oyster River, you know, they have a lot of talent, and the more that they get out on the field, I think they're going to be a team to reckon with as the season goes along. They just, you know, coach said it, they're a young team that needs more experience, and they'll get it. And I think he'll get them to grow up quickly.
Interesting stretch for them coming up with Wyndham at home on Friday and then Portsmouth at home on Monday.
They got to survive the first three games here and you know just continue to build off of those things as they get through that stretch. But it was a similar stretch for them last year too. They were even younger last year.
Right. Speaking of young guys, when we were looking over the Hollis Brookline Hillsborough Deering John Stark results, something kind of stood out to me. You know, you had their, you know, top guys that you expect to score: Ben Defoe, Colin Magnuszewski, JP Torgerson, Connor Cook, all had goals in that 16-1 win. But what stood out to me was that their leading scorers, you got four goals from freshman Bennett Torgerson and three goals from freshman Vittorio Massoni. Great news for the Cavs if they've got a couple of freshmen jumping in and scoring seven goals in the first, you know, their first varsity games.
Yep. You know, had two kids come back, Bryson Gersh, who hadn't played for them, and Mike O'Hearn also had their first varsity goals there too. So, again, you know, I think numbers are still somewhat of an issue for them, but it looks like, you know, the numbers they do have, they've got more depth. They're building depth there. They got more guys that they can rely on. Charlie D had eight saves from them, building off of, you know, his season in net last year. And it sounded like the defense stood up really well in that game. So, yeah, very encouraging start for Hollis Brookline this year.
And then one more D2 game that I want to mention. Also from Tuesday, you had a big rivalry game up north, Kingswood and Kennett. Kingswood getting a 7-5 win over Kennett. Will Crane with three goals in that one, and Austin Emerson two for the Knights. And then for Kennett, Bob Murphy, three goals, including, we mentioned this when we did our preview, he was close, including 100th goal of his career. So congrats to Murphy on getting that milestone. I think, you know, it's a tough one to kind of gauge just because we know both programs, you know, even though Kingswood has turf, when you dump 3 feet of snow on it in 2 weeks, I mean, you're probably not going to be able to use it.
You're not going to move that snow very quickly.
So, you know, maybe a closer game than you might think, but I think Kennett is going to be, I think Kennett might surprise some people when all is said and done, that they're going to be in maybe more games than they're not. This season, so an interesting.
It's a tough team to scout. We don't get to see a lot of them early on, and you know, they. So you got to kind of watch box scores early in the season there, and but we'll be up. In theory, we're playing them on the 15th. Hopefully, I've been told the snow melts quick up there. I don't know, but
well, I mean, if there's eclipses going on, then that's like a whole hour and a half. You had no sun or a little less sun on it than normal. All right, how about we move on to D3. You know, a similar situation, you know, a lot of games getting postponed. Of course, so many teams in the division have, who do we have in Trinity, Interlakes? I think those are the turf teams in D3, right?
I'm trying to remember any other ones real quick. I didn't even know Interlakes had a turf.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Interlakes has turf, yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, yeah. How about that?
No lights on the turf, but they do.
No
have
lights
turf.
On the turf. Okay. Yeah. All right. But yeah, I mean, you had Campbell open up with a 9-2 win over Kearsarge there. Little lower scoring than I would have expected in that game, but Kearsarge, I heard numbers are way up, getting a lot of athletes out there. So, you know, I get it, got to be kind of an encouraging sign for Kearsarge, I would think.
9-2, but I think the message that was relayed to me from Coach Knight. Typical first game, spring game of the year, you know, one of the first times out on the field, I think, for two teams that are on grass and, you know,
a little sloppiness leads to it.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, a couple of guys with multiple goals, Andrew Wilness, Brandon Portillo, Nate Lenecki for Campbell. And then kind of maybe the big one for them, Will O'Brien, seven saves in goal. first start, replacing
huge
3-year starter in Ryan Garrett. Potentially, believe O'Brien a sophomore for them too. So maybe following the same path there.
Yeah.
As Ryan.
And then we said, you know, another thing, you know, in Division III that was going to be huge is the face-off circle and Lucas Craig going 10 of 14 on the day for them. We said that's going to be matchups for every – it seems like every D3 game this year we're going to have some great matchups in the face-off circle there with the guys that are competing there this year in Division III.
You know, we alluded to a little bit earlier, I think at the beginning, the Hopkinton-Bow rematch from the semifinals last year that Hopkinton won in overtime. They
liked
again.
It so much,
yeah,
they went double overtime.
Double overtime this time. Hopkinton wins that one 8-7. Bo bounced back on Wednesday, though, with a 14-3 win over Bishop Brady. Righted the ship rather quickly with that one.
I don't know how much you take away from that first, you know, you never want to, it's hard to lose. You love to win your first game. It's hard to lose that first game, but I think both those teams are pretty confident in what they have coming back and realize, like, all right, and judging by that score, probably didn't show a lot of cards. You know, they'll probably save something for later, knowing that they're going to play each other. I think you just got to stay, like, look, we make some adjustments, we keep getting better, and, you know, maybe we look to get them in the playoffs when it matters. And if you're Hopkinton, you just got to keep working hard to make sure that, you know, you are not content with, yeah, we've beaten them the last two times. You got to keep making adjustments. We got to keep getting better, knowing that it's only going to make Bo hungrier to get them when they can in the playoffs there if they do match up again.
You know, big win for Pelham going on the road to beat Guilford. Of course, what did I do with that score? Just had it right in front of me. 10-3 on Wednesday. I don't really have any details on that one yet, but anytime you're going on the road and traveling like that from Pelham to Guilford, that's a big win to get on the road and a nice bus ride home, I imagine. And then the other D3 score we saw from Wednesday, Plymouth with a 15-3 win over Stevens. One that I'm a little
was that at Plymouth?
That was at Plymouth too. Okay. Yeah. One score that looks like it wasn't put in. I'm wondering, trying to find real quick here if there were any details on it or if there was actually played, was Interlakes and Trinity from yesterday, from Tuesday, but I don't see that one anywhere. So I'm curious as to whether that one was played. I think that's give us a pretty good idea of maybe where either team is. Depending on who came out.
If it
out.
Was at Trinity, I would almost guarantee
it. Yeah, was that? We just said the two turf teams in the division.
I would think that game would have gotten played. So it's too bad we don't have that score. But I mean, you know, to kind of as we wind down here, you know, I think some really good early season matchups and some encouraging signs for even the teams that weren't able to pick up victories in their first game there. You know, shows I think we thought coming into the season that most of these divisions. There was going to be a lot of movement and opportunity for teams to make the playoffs that hadn't there. And I don't think this week has proved any different so far. You know, if you're a team coming out of this week, I still think you got to feel pretty good. And yeah, really looking forward to some of the good matchups we got coming next week.
Well, only a couple of games on the boys' side on Thursday. Londonderry at Exeter, first game of the year for the Lancers.
It'd be great to see where they're at.
And then Trinity at Kearsarge. Also on the schedule for Thursday. We'll see whether holds out for that one. And then on Friday, I think we got a little bit more of a busier day. You mentioned Derry Field at Winneconnet, of course. Merrimack Valley goes to Alvern on Friday. So that should be an interesting one. Like we said, Merrimack Valley with a close loss to St. Thomas and then Alvern already with a couple of wins. Hopkinton and Cole Brown on Friday. Should be interesting. They played two really good games, I feel like, a year ago. Kingswood at Goffstown Friday night on the turf in Goffstown under the lights. Really interested to see, you know, what that one looks like.
That's a huge one for playoff.
Sure.
Playoff potential there, yeah.
Wyndham at Oyster River on Friday. Again, another one that has already, you know, some playoff implications
yeah.
to it. And then, of course, we mentioned Monday's game, Pinkerton at Bedford.
You got a time for that game?
5:30 on Monday. You going to come join me over there?
I might.
All right.
I might.
Maybe record a
actually
a special...
I can guarantee you I won't. We'll be finishing up. I will not be out of Kennett at that time. The JV game will be going on. I might be at Burger King at that time.
But there's no surprise snow over the weekend or anything.
Fair enough.
That doesn't. And then we really haven't even talked about them at all because they haven't played yet. But Tuesday, another really big out of state game. You've got Bishop Girton going down to Merrimack College to play St. John's Prep, 5 o'clock start on Tuesday.
That would be. I tell you what, you know, we just got done. We can be creatures of the moment here. But if BG can pull that one off, that would be the biggest win in New Hampshire recent history.
They
here, so
only lost to him by one last year.
I know,
but that was at Stellos.
Yeah, but you got to get it. You got to get it done. It's a new year, so that'll be a great one. That one. What day of the week? What day of the week is it?
Tuesday at 5 at Merrimack College.
That one I'm gonna try and make. We may end practice a little early to try and get down. Where I'll definitely get there for the second half. That'll be a fun game.
Yeah, big week for BG next week. They have that one. They open with Manchester on Friday, Salem on Monday, then St. John's Prep Tuesday, and then they go down to Providence College on Saturday to play Staples.
That's a huge week. That's some good lacrosse. That's some really good lacrosse there. And that Staples game was a great game last year as well.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
It's great to be back on the field. We say it every year, and I think we'll say it again this year. It's going to be June, and we're going to be like, where did the time go? So I'm going to try and enjoy every moment here. And it was great to get started, and looking forward to our next game on Friday.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week. Chris, thanks again for joining me. He is Chris Hettler, Derryfield Boys lacrosse coach and AD. I am Joe Marcellina, and we'll talk to you next week.